So, all right, Judges chapter 13, of course, as if you're familiar with the Word of God, Judges chapter 13 through 16 gives us the story of Samson, probably one of the most famous stories in the Bible. But in reality, it's actually one of the most distressing and even depressing stories in the Bible because of all the potential that Samson had, and he squandered it, he wasted it, and we'll even see a contrast here tonight by way of an example, but Judges chapter 13, and I've entitled this, Raising Children in an Evil Culture. Right at the start, notice, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. Boy, why is it that we don't learn? You know, that didn't work right, so I better start doing something different. You know, and as I've already said in this series, you know, the perfect definition of insanity is keep doing the same things and expect different results. So because they're doing evil again in the sight of the Lord, notice, the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. Now, within that 40 years, we're going to see that Samson is judging Israel. But it says, in this chapter, we're introduced to Samson's parents, of course. And it says, there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites. And if you know anything about the Danites in Scripture, the Danites became one of the most apostate tribes in Israel. So it's even amazing that you have a God-fearing a couple in this tribe here, but whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. So she obviously was not able to bear children. That tells us that probably some time had passed for them to be aware of that. Notice the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman. Now, this is not the first time we've seen the angel of the Lord in the book of Judges. It says the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman. As we see in this passage, it's obviously Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate. It is not a reference to Gabriel or anyone like that. The angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not. But first and foremost, notice here as far as parents, and let's broaden it out even to grandparents who have influence in our grandchildren's lives, notice, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. That is a promise. I want you to consider first and foremost, we need to trust in what God says in his word as we seek to raise children in an evil culture. Not only that, but there also needs to be some standards that we see in verse 4. Now, therefore, beware. Pay attention. This is a warning. I pray thee. Beware, I pray thee. Drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. First and foremost, there's a warning there for all of us. Don't drink strong drink. Stay away from liquor. You know, Proverbs 20 verse 1 is still in the Bible. You know, it's wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Well, I can handle it. Okay, 1 out of 10 people become drunkards who take that first drink. I remember in Bible college when our professor was teaching about some of this in our ethics course, he says, all right, would you fly on a plane realizing that 1 out of every 10 seats would drop out of the plane? Well, I don't think you probably want to go on that, So why would you want to go into something that, you know, take even that first drink? Because 1 out of 10 people on average end up a drunkard, controlled by strong drink, just by taking that first drink. So again, drink not wine nor strong drink. And we're going to see the other reason why it was emphasized for her. But again, a standard. There's very important for us to have separation standards. Also notice, eat not any unclean thing. Now, remember back in our study in the Old Testament, as we're going through the Old Testament law, we went through the chapter on the diet restrictions, the dietary restrictions for the nation of Israel. Remember I emphasized that was not for their health. So many times we think, well, yeah, you know, God wanted them to be healthy out in the wilderness. It was not for their health because later on, God says, you don't have to worry about that anymore, as he told Peter. Well, God's not worried about the Jews' health anymore then? In fact, if that was the case, I would kind of take an offense to that because it said you could do it, you give all these things to the stranger. You know, if you raise some pork, you can give it to the stranger, but you can't give it to a Jew. So a Gentile can have all this stuff, you know, so God's not concerned about our health. It's not about their health. It's about them being distinct from the culture around them. That's why God says, don't touch an unclean animal. So in this passage here, you notice, to avoid strong drink, to avoid eating any unclean thing. Remember in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, it says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat and the wine which he offered. So again, we need standards. And let me just say this, It was very important for his parents to have these standards if they were ever going to teach these things to Samson. It's very important for Samson to do this because, as we see in verse 5, he was to have a Nazarite vow. It says in verse 5, "For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head." Pause there just a moment. I want to clarify something here as far as these Nazarite vows. Some people think that this means that they never cut their hair. Now, I want you to logically think about something here. This was a lifetime Nazarite vow for Samson. So imagine if he never cut his hair. Let's assume, you know, because he was judge in Israel for 20 years. So let's assume, you know, he lived to be 40 years old. He never had a haircut, never had a trim, anything. Notice the very important wording. And in fact, I even checked in number 6 to make sure I remember this correctly. No razor shall come on his head. That does not mean he never got a trim as a haircut. It's talking about no razor coming on the head. So, you know, he couldn't have the look like we have today with some of our basketball players or whatever. You know, they're totally bald. Notice, no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. Now, when you look at number 6, that was a temporary vow. Somebody voluntarily would, give a vow before God of the Nazarite vow. It was a time when they would especially consecrate themselves to the Lord. But notice this was supposed to be a lifetime vow for Samson. Notice he shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, from his birth. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Now let me pause there just a moment. I want you to think about the fact that he would only begin to do this because God was not able to use him in as a great way as I believe God wanted to use him for, but because of his sensuality and all those things. You notice again, he would begin to deliver Israel, but he left Israel under the bondage and the power of the Philistines. Notice then the woman came and told her husband, saying, "A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible." I'll pause there just a moment. There's two different ways that an angel or the angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ himself, will appear as they come in the Old Testament. Sometimes, you know, bright and in a glorified state. Sometimes just as a common, ordinary man. In fact, I think we see that both cases here in this account with Manoah and his wife. Notice it says, an angel of God, very terrible. Did you know God is terrible? How words change. We were talking about that a little while ago. How words change in the English language. I really believe there's a process going on in America to dumb us down in our English language so that we, you know, after all, we have to have something other than a 1611 Bible now because all you need is an understanding of the English language. Get a dictionary that still has those words in it and study. Oh, there's a problem. We don't know how to study anymore. Notice, very terrible. Can I remind you that 2 Corinthians 5:11 says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord? This produced some awe in her and reverence. Hebrews 12 verses 28 and 29 talks about serving God with reverence and godly fear. There's something else that we've lost in our modern day, on our evil culture as we're talking about. Notice again it says, but I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. But he said unto me, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. So now she's passing on the news to Manoah, her husband. And now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God, notice, from the womb to the day of his death. Now, you notice that the angel of the Lord did not say that as far as what's recorded in the Bible, but she very clearly understood this. It was from birth to death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord. Now, notice something else in this home. Notice there was prayer. When Manoah wanted to know something from God, notice he's entreating and pleading with the Lord, and said, oh, my Lord. Notice here, the Lord, Jehovah, and he says, my Lord Adonai, my master, my Lord. Let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. Here's a prayer request that I believe every parent and grandparent needs to be praying for their child or their grandchild. Teach us what we shall do unto the child. Teach us. So that we show them what they need to know. Teach us so that we properly parent and grandparent. Is that the desire of our heart tonight? Teach me, Lord. I want to know how to raise this child for you. And notice God hearkened to the voice of Manoah. Notice answered prayer here. And the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. Men, don't you just love it when your wife has an experience with the Lord that you just can't seem to be a part of? Manoah, her husband, was not with her. So notice, his wife made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto, "Behold, the man appeared unto me that came unto me the other day." Manoah rose and went after his wife, and notice, came to the man. Notice, he appears as a man. Evidently, she had an experience where he had a terrible experience, or a terrible appearance, I should say, struck terror in her, where he just sees him as a man and said unto him, "Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman?" Let me just say it this way. The New Testament calls Jesus the man, Christ Jesus. And notice his answer here. And he said, "I am." Those two words jumped off the page at me. "I am." Well, that's exactly what he said to Moses in Exodus chapter 3. As he's talking to this burning bush, the Lord himself, the glory of the Lord in that bush. "Well, when they ask me what your name is, what should I tell them?" "Tell them, I am that I am." So when they ask this, tell them, "I am hath sent you." That's exactly what he says to the religious leaders when he's talking about Abraham in John chapter 8, verse 58. Before Abraham was, he just says, "I am." There's a reason why they wanted to take up stones and stone him at that point. Because they recognize that he was claiming this title here, "I am that I am." That's what tells me this is the Lord Jesus Christ, the same individual that appeared to Moses in the burning bush. And Manoah said, "Now let thy words come to pass." Notice this question, very important question. There's a powerful application for us as we raise the next generation. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? That's not talking about giving orders. Can I caution you about just giving orders to your children? Sometimes I believe they need an explanation. Here's why we do this. This is what the Bible says. But I want you to emphasize, I want to emphasize that word order there. How shall we order the child? About God, it says, you know, that he's a God of order. And can I challenge you to make sure that there's not a lot of chaos in your home? There needs to be order. And I want you to think about this. Children need schedule and they need rules. Oh, I know that's not popular. They need a schedule. And I want you to think about this. If chaos rules in your house, what do you think is going to happen to those young people as they grow up in chaos that rules? They're going to have chaos in their lives. Notice that this is a powerful question that he asks. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? So find some Bible standards, some Bible things, and put those things practically to work in your home. Why? Because your child is going to need some order. Sorry, but you're not always going to be there for them to for you to wake them up in the morning. Okay, it's time to get up now. Come on, get out of bed. Come on, it's been half hour now. Get out of bed. Get out of bed now. You're not always going to be there for that.
Are you there?
I'm thankful that. Our sons caught that. They learned pretty quickly in homeschooling that if they get up early on their own and get to work, then they have more time to play football later in the afternoon. They enjoyed that. I mean, they were sitting at their desk by 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning. It's like, and they have the same attitude now in their jobs. I thank God that we've built some order into their lives. Every once in a while, somebody says, "Well, you're so lucky, you guys." Luck? What's luck got to do with it? Amen. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? We don't have to have luck when we have this book right here to give us some principles in raising children. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, "Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware." Now, I want you to notice here in these two verses here, both are in agreement as far as the standards in the home. That was something that struck me here as I was studying through this passage. First of all, the angel of the Lord tells his wife about what she's supposed to do, the standards she's supposed to have. But notice now he's emphasizing to Manoah, here's what I told her, and this is what needs to be done. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. Notice, all that I commanded her, let her observe. Both were in agreement on the standards that need to be in the home. Oh, you know, this is one of the biggest things I've noticed over the years. When father and mother have different standards as to what the children should uphold, should be put place under. You think about this, when there's a different standard between dad and mom, what's going to happen? The child's going to go to the lower standard. So you notice again, there needs to be an agreement. And so he emphasizes this to Manoah so that this standard can be upheld with both of them. And let me just say this. It's obvious that both of them held up the standard so that they could teach Samson. And so note it says in verse 15, and Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee or delay thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. Now, I don't totally understand why, because, you know, because elsewhere he ate of Abraham's bread and whatever. But, and if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that it was an angel, for he was an angel of the Lord. Again, he had a human appearance, evidently, here. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name? This is very interesting. What is thy name? More than one time this in Scripture, this takes place, that when thy sayings come to pass, notice this faith that they had, when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor. Remember Jacob, as he's wrestling with the man, I believe the Bible very clearly says that's the Lord. Again, it's the same angel of the Lord that Manoah and his wife are seeing here. And he asks him, what is thy name? And he just asks the question back. Don't you hate it when you ask a question, you get a question in response? Why do you ask after my name? He does not give him an answer. It says, and the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name? Notice this, seeing it is secret. It's very interesting. There's at least three occasions in Scripture where this is referenced. Remember in Revelation 19, as he's riding back on a white horse, it says that he has a name which no man knoweth. And that tells me, I believe, that there's a name that the Lord Jesus Christ has that we're not even going to know throughout all of eternity. Why? Because he is God. Now, there's a lot of names and titles that God has revealed. We had a short lesson of six lessons on the names of God. But notice he says, why are you asking after my name, seeing it is secret? He has a secret name that only he knows. So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And notice the angel did wondrously. This carries the idea of a miraculous thing that takes place here. I believe the evidence is here that they placed the sacrifice on the rock, and literally the Lord, there's fire that came out from the rock and consumed the flame, as we're going to see in verse 20. It says, for it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, notice that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. I have a feeling it was very similar to the disciples standing, you know, when Jesus ascended back to heaven. Wow! Can you imagine standing there watching Jesus take off in a cloud? That's not the clouds of the sky. I believe that's his glory cloud. All of a sudden, his glory takes encloses him, and he's just back in heaven. Boom, just like that. Remember, the angel says, why are you standing looking in the heavens? Jesus is coming back. Notice it says, he ascended in the flame of the altar. When Manoah and his wife saw that, notice they looked on it. Notice it says they fell on their faces to the ground. By the way, at the end of verse 19, it says Manoah and his wife looked on. God is not doing this to entertain them. You cannot find any miracle that Jesus performs in the Gospels just for entertainment. There was a reason why he did that, for the evidence of his glory, his power, and so on. Notice they're looking on with this, and notice the end of verse 20 says they fell on their faces to the ground. That's why the Lord is doing this, to give them a fear and a reverence for the Lord. It says, but the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. It's very interesting as I thought about that statement. parents and grandparents have a book with God's instructions on how to raise a child. You know, you want specific instructions, read the book of Proverbs. It's loaded with things like that. But yet people think, well, I've got to have this psychology book. I've got to... No, no. It says the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and his wife. Why? Because they knew everything they needed to raise Samson the way that they needed to. Notice it says, then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen... Notice, we've not seen a man, we've not seen an angel, we've seen God. They recognized that the angel of the Lord was Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate, God himself. But then his wife kind of balances it out here, this fear. His wife said unto him, men, aren't you thankful for a wife that kind of balances out your thoughts sometimes? His wife said unto him, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would, as at this time, have told us such things as these. In the process of time, of course, verse 24 says, the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. If I remember correctly, the name Samson means strength of the sun. It says the child grew and the Lord blessed him. Now, can you show me in this chapter any reference to the fact that he was going to have supernatural strength? I think we forget that the supernatural strength was not the focus. And yet anytime we think of the life of Samson, he was muscular. No. I'm convinced he was an ordinary average guy. Average Jew. Because the Philistines did not know the source of his strength. I mean, if he looked like a big power lifter, they would have thought, well, yeah, you're strong. You work out. Now, he was average size, I'm convinced of that. Because nobody knew the source of his strength that did not know his life story. Notice again, Samson, and the child grew, notice, and the Lord blessed him. One of the things I took notice of this is that there was a greater blessing upon Samson's life when he was under his parents' authority, but when he got on his own, he made a mess of his life. Young people, listen up very carefully. What you do now in your home, under your parents' or grandparents' authority, that's not the real test. Because you struggle sometimes with that. I know. I was a teenager not too long ago. You struggle when you're under your parents' authority. How do you think that's going to work out when you're out on your own? I wonder how many young people have made a mess of their lives because, you know, at home, yeah, there's restraints. But when you're out on your own, will you make a mess of your life like Samson? The next three chapters, he makes a mess of his life. Notice it says here in verse 25, the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Notice with me Luke chapter 1. I want you to see a contrast here tonight. Very, very similar story. And a totally different outcome. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. See some of the very similar wording, very similar story. It says, Luke chapter 1, verse 5, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. As far as godly parents, notice it says, they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Manoah and his wife were obedient to the Lord. You know, they were separated. They had the standards that were required of them to raise Samson. So notice, again, this obedience and righteousness before God. But they had no child, notice, because that Elizabeth was barren. Well, that sounds like the story we just read. And they both were now well stricken in years. Now, the Bible doesn't say how old Manoah's wife was. But obviously, again, she was old enough to understand that she was having trouble having a child. God was not giving her a child. Verse 8, and it says, it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Now, Zacharias was not expecting that as he went into the Holy of Holies. And, of course, the Bible says here that this is Gabriel. And all of a sudden, he's troubled, it says in verse 12. And fear fell upon him. You would also, if you saw Gabriel standing, as you're not expecting in the Holy of Holies. The angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias. Notice, for thy prayer is heard. They were not expecting a child anymore. So they probably had stopped praying for a long time. But can I remind you that God answers prayer in his own time? It says, thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great, notice this, great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. Oh, that's the same as Judges. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Something I forgot to mention is, seven times in the book of Judges, it's mentioned the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the judges. Four times just for Samson. That tells me God the Holy Spirit wanted to use Samson in a greater way than he was able to because of his sensuality and his revenge and all those things. Notice John would be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, this is not a good question. Whereby shall I know this? Gabriel saying, because I stand in God's presence. For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. He did not say that in her presence, by the way. He said it in the angel's presence. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God himself. I am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. Behold, because you doubted, behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. People waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long, and of course he comes out. Of course, he can't speak now, so I don't know how he did this. He kind of tried to do something to, oh, an angel. Oh, he saw an angel in there. Wow. Remember, a lot of times, from what I understand, the one who would go in to the Holy of Holies would have a rope tied to their ankle so that they could pull him out in case God didn't accept the sacrifice and struck him dead right then and there. Of course, then Elizabeth conceives in verse 24. Now, move down to verse 57. This is after Mary visits them. Verse 57, now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias, after the name of his father. They just assumed Zacharias would have this son named after him. And his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. Why? Because Gabriel said so. And they said unto her, there is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father, how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table, and he wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt around about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? That's why later on they wondered if he was the Christ. And the hand of the Lord was with him. Notice verse 67, his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. Drop down then to verse 76. Here's his instruction to John, known as John the Baptist to us. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercies of our God, whereby the day spring from on high, that's a reference to Jesus Christ, hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace, into the way of peace. The child grew, well, that's what happened to Samson, and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. I want you to notice the contrast there between Samson and John the Baptist. Both of them died. We could probably say an untimely death. Samson died, bringing the house down, in suicide. John the Baptist, as we understand later, lost his head to Herod's axe. But yet, Jesus Christ himself said, there's no one greater than John the Baptist. Think about that. Samson could have had the same results in his life. But we're going to see in our next lesson that he lived a life of sensuality and a vengeful spirit. He was very self-centered and self-focused. I really believe that he limited what God could have done with him. Young people, I want you to consider here tonight. How's life going to turn out for you? You better be listening carefully to what your parents, your grandparents, and your preacher have to say. As long as it's from this book, you better be listening carefully. And make sure that you're patterning your life after that. All right, so you're going to wreck and ruin your life like Samson? Or are you going to have the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, like John the Baptist? Father, I pray that you'd help us as parents and grandparents to have a spiritual influence in the life of our young people. Lord, help me as the pastor of this church, the same Lord. And Lord, I pray for our young people that even now, while they're under their parents' authority, they will begin preparing their hearts. Lord, Holy Spirit, that you'd be able to fill them. Lord, they don't have to be an adult to have the filling of the Spirit of God in their life. Help them develop a relationship with you so that you can use them in a great and mighty way so that they can hear someday, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Lord, how many young people have left the home, gone on their own, and wrecked and ruined and made a mess of their lives? I pray, God, I plead with you that none of our young people make some of the foolish mistakes, foolish decisions and choices that Samson made. In Jesus' name, amen.